B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is a busy Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, and it all starts off with the legendary Whitesnake singer David Coverdale. We cover numerous topics, including his friend Glenn Hughes.
Love him dearly. You know, we started this thing, Deep Purple, together. We've always stayed in touch through thick and thin. He's my soul brother.
David's calling in to talk about the Whitesnake Rock album, which is a 16-track collection spotlighting revisited, remixed, and remastered versions of the band's best rock songs. That's going to be released on June 19th. He talks a lot about it, including the fact that now he's got a bunch of great singers in the band.
I've got four guys who are capable of being lead singers, but in the early days, I usually had drunken sailors.
I did talk to him about his presence on social media, especially Twitter, and he did drop this on me. Could David Coverdale be retiring?
And what better age for what for the Whitesnake lead singer to go out and retire on it? 69.
And then we switch to the singer of Rival Sons, Jay Buchanan. As I did an Instagram Live with him the other day, he did talk about writing some new music for Rival Sons.
I'm singing like crazy here at home, and I'm working on our next record, you know, Scott Holiday, my partner, he and I are trading ideas back and forth every day.
We even put Jay to work and had him sing a little bit for us.
My love is stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
This is another fun one, Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Thank you so much for joining me. Two of my favorite frontmen in rock and roll, David Coverdale. I mean, the guy is just a freaking legend. We'll talk to him first coming up here in just a minute. And also, Jay Buchanan from Rival Sons. This band's really taken the rock world by storm in the last 5 years. Just seeing him live, unbelievable. He actually sings a little bit, which I'll talk about because it was kind of a funny moment in the interview. I'll tell you guys about that coming up here in just a bit. Hey, real fast, a little housekeeping. If you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating on iTunes and Apple and the whole thing, and share it with your friends. And of course, subscribe, because we just keep on pounding out these rock and roll interviews, and we hope that you guys dig this. In the meantime, the new stuff from, well, I shouldn't say new stuff, the reissued stuff from Whitesnake comes out on June 19th. And whenever I get an email to talk to David, I always say yes, because he's one of my favorite people to talk to. He's got such a great sense of humor, and he's just such a class act. And they sent me this email, and they're like, hey, listen, here's some of the tracks. Listen to them, because before the interview with David, I'm looking at him like, you know, slide it in, and, you know, the usual Whitesnake songs. I'm like, okay. So I got in the workout this morning, put my earbuds in, and cranked it up. And yes, these things are remixed, remastered, and David will talk about that as well. Like, even in the beginning clip there, was slide it in underneath the opening intro. It was, it's definitely remixed. You can kind of hear it a little bit better in stereo, but you'll get the picture on June 19th when it comes, and you'll hear definitely some different things here and there as far as your familiar Whitesnake songs. In the meantime, I was connected with David Coverdale, the legend that he is, and here he is today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
Oh, my God, are you a Marvel comic supervillain?
That's what my wife tells me all the time, so.
Oh, bless her heart.
That's right.
Bless her heart. I hope no. Well, now, well, both of us seem to be surviving the domestic bliss of lockdown. I'm thoroughly anticipating a sharp Ginzu night in between the shoulder blades, but I'm being on my best behavior.
Well, that makes two of us. Hey, great to hear your voice again. By the way, my friend Shakes says his sends his best.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. I tell you, man, you guys mean a world to me. You've always been supportive. And if you remember, Detroit was the first place I ever played in America with Deep Purple.
Is that right?
In 1974. Yeah, I played two nights at Cobo Hall, which, I'm not even sure if it's still there. Did it turn into the Joe Louis Arena? I'm not sure.
No, Joe Louis was something different. But, yeah, Cobo is still there. They just kind of revamped it and all this stuff. And, that reminds me. I just saw Glenn Hughes not that long ago. And, man, he is playing better than ever and sounds better than ever. Have you seen him recently?
Well, yeah, we stay in touch all the time. We're the Unrighteous Brothers.
Right.
I stay in touch with Richie. God bless him. And recently celebrating a birthday. But Glenn and I are in touch almost daily. Love him dearly. You know, we started this thing, Deep Purple, together. We've always stayed in touch through thick and thin. He's my soul brother. And I adore him and wish him nothing but good.
Yeah, he was fantastic when I saw him about a year and a half ago. Just really, really good. So you got this the Rock Collection coming out on June 19th, and I was working out to the tracks they sent me, and it was like a Where's Waldo. I had to try to find some of the different things you guys did for some of the songs, like Slide It In. I noticed a little guitar reverb, a different solo on there. The ending's a little different for Slide It In. Slow and Easy had, I think, some extra solo stuff, a little bit of a different tone of the solos as well, extra vocal stuff, I should say. So, tell us about some of the tweaks you made on some of these songs.
Yeah, well, when we revisited it, you must remember, I just signed with Geffen Records in the U.S., and I'd been with EMI. I was the longest surviving artist on EMI once the Beatles went their separate ways and several classical artists passed. But, so they trusted me to get on with it, et cetera, et cetera. But I was making, sonically, what people would refer to as European records. You know, things have changed now. It's very universal how people work in the studio. But for American FM radio, it was, they sounded a little bit muddy. Mm-hmm. So the mixes I was doing in Europe and sending to Los Angeles, the Geffen offices, we weren't getting any response. So I said to my old friend Martin Birch, who was working with me, I said, you know, they're going to want to remix. You know that, don't you? He said, yeah, do what you have to do. No worries. It won't affect our friendship. And they did. They wanted to remix. And when Cozy Powell and I first heard the remix, and I said, look, if you're going to remix, I've got a new hotshot guitar player called John Sykes. I want him on the record. And my old bass player, Neil Murray's rejoined. I want him on the record. So we had two different albums on either side of the pond. So when Chris Collier and I remixed it, we tied in all of those performances where we felt that embellished the song or enhanced the song. So, yeah, it's a hybrid of whatever was on tape.
Mm.
And I'm thrilled, utterly thrilled with it. And when we released the box set, I think last year, the 35th anniversary, or was it last year or whatever, people who are very familiar with the album couldn't believe the clarity of it and that they were raving that John Lord, God rest his soul. You know, I lost half the band out down. You know, I lost Noel Galley, Cozy Powell, and John Lord in a very short space of time. Enormous loss. But when you look at it, 50% of that band has passed. It was just weird. But they were so alive in the sessions when we were. I was going, oh, my God, that's John and me talking in between tracks. It was just touching. And, you know, there's no way I would have done a throwaway mix. It's really done with care and love and to bring it up to, you know, to sonic standards of, to be on satellite radio or on your car radio, your headphones. You know, music to me has always been, if I like it, I stick it in my pocket and take it with me. I put it in my iPhone. That's how I work out. You know, I don't know how you do it, you know. But I'm a big headphone guy. I love all the trickery you can hear, stereo stuff. But it was a labor of love, and we've done that. I was so excited with working with this new hotshot, Chris Collier. I went, bugger it. Let's do these other albums and get it all into, you know, a fresh coat of paint, in other words. I'm thrilled with what we have.
Yeah, when I was listening to it in my headphones, I heard some little things here and there, like maybe some a couple extra little vocal things, and it seemed to me like some of the vocals were a little bit layered in parts where I don't really recall that in the past.
I'm usually just a single, unless it's a chorus or whatever. It's only recently I've had amazing singers with me, for instance, the current band, I've got four guys who are capable of being lead singers. But in the early days, I usually had drunken sailors. So I would layer my voice and do harmonies and stuff on there. But most of the time, my voice is thick enough to be able to handle being on its own, you know, and compression. But, I'm utterly thrilled with it. There's some stuff I'm excited, certainly for our American brothers and sisters to hear, that weren't released here. An album called Restless Heart. There's songs on there called Can't Stop Now, Anything You Want, Restless Heart. It's a teaser album of things to come, Meltdown.
Mm.
You know, I don't know how aware, but the last couple of years I've been working with Warner Brothers, Rhino Records, and we put out four really successful, critically acclaimed box sets, which feature CDs called Evolutions, where you hear basic little ideas, what grew into Slide It In, what grew into Still of the Night, what grew into Is This Love, and that's one of the most popular features. So we have all of these things lined up for the next 5 years. And I said, well, instead of box sets all the time, let's do some compilation albums to give people an idea, like a taste of things to come from the Red, White, and Blues trilogy. So this rock album is taken, the songs are taken from maybe, I think, seven albums over 35 years, and all remixed to be, and some of them embellished. The Restless Heart songs, I brought my dear friend and guitar player Joel Hoster in, and an amazing keyboard player called Derek Sherinian,
yep.
Who... It, you know, is a super, I don't know whether you know him, he's a super musician.
Yeah, for Sons of Apollo,
God,
yeah.
I'm listening to him, oh my God, yes, and I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, oh my God, he's like the son of John Lord. It's breathtaking.
Hey,
so that came back, it brought an identity, like, of early Whitesnake hybriding into modern. It was really cool.
No, it sounds fantastic. Two quick things here for you, and then we'll cut you loose. I know that my time is running out. But real fast, you just mentioned your voice and how strong it is. And over the beginning of Always the Same, that struck me super, because it's like there's only this guitar playing, and your voice is so strong at the beginning of that song.
Well, that's very much like, you know, it was from the Flesh and Blood Sessions, the last studio album we made. And I was thrilled. I had a track that I could feature on here to bring it up to date with now. And people have had a great response to it. It's a very Whitesnake song, that soft vocal and then the big rock band coming in.
Yeah.
That's very similar to who we are, part of the identity of Whitesnake. And I think both Red Beach does the first solo, then Joel Hoster takes over and plays it out from there. It's, I'm very pleased with it. It's getting an amazing response so far on social media. And really, there's a lot of people talking now, is it insensitive to release music? Are you kidding? I'm buying music and movies every day.
Mm.
These are songs to keep you company in lockdown. You know, help put the headphones on and do the vacuuming. That's what I do.
Hey, last thing here for you, since you just brought it up. You know, I told my boss and my brother I was going to be talking to you. I always love talking to you so much. And both of them said the same thing. He's got the best Twitter. So my question to you is, will you follow me on Twitter?
Oh, no. I made a deal. I wasn't going to do that because I was very involved with Whitesnake.com and a thing called BBS, where I interacted with people, like Q&As, pretty much daily. But once I started working again as a touring artist, that became relatively impossible. And it was Doug Aldrich, God bless him, who turned around and said, DC, your sense of humor, you do great on Twitter. Well, the very word reminds me of my youth when my father would say, well, you stop Twittering on, you know. And it's really easy for me to do just from my phone when I get on a plane, just about to take off for Warsaw, hey, how are you doing? Video postcards from the road. To make people informed, entertained, engaged, and it's just building. And during this dark time, we're adding thousands of people to our social media, so we must be doing something right. You know, it's a... But I said years ago I was going to build it up to, I think, 100,000. I won my bet. And I collected the money, but I had so much fun with it. And I think we're at 226,000 just on Twitter, but there are a lot of people on Facebook and Instagram. So, you know, it's a big outreach for us. And it keeps it more, I call everyone my cyber chums, but I I work all the time. I pretty much run Whitesnake with a business team. So following people, whenever I look at my phone, it's something important. You know, and tell Joe Elliott to stop sending me filthy memes. I can't post them.
I'm only goofing you on the following me. That's it. But it's great, Mel. Your Twitter's awesome. It's the best, as far as I'm concerned, of any rock star out there. So keep up the great work. And
oh, bless your heart.
And hopefully we'll see you here in Detroit and on tour sometime this year. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, everything. I'm always an optimist about that. I have a feeling this is going to be. Going to take a little while to get things back to any semblance of what we knew before. So what we have to do is think outside the box, Meltdown. I have to get this surgery and get up and running. And what better age for the Whitesnake lead singer to go out and retire on it? 69.
That's going to be it? You're going to retire? That's it? You're going to be done?
Well, if I can get out there. I mean, these songs, I've always written songs that challenge me as a vocalist. And I'm 68 now, but I think 69 would be appropriate for Whitesnake's lead singer, wouldn't you?
I can't wait
to design the T-shirt.
Hey, David, thank you so much for the time. Good luck with the reissues and everything else you have going on.
Thank you. Just stay safe and well out there. You know, my love to you and yours and your listeners. You know, it's a challenging time, but I have every confidence, you know, we'll come out of this cocoon as the butterflies we truly are.
There you go. David, thank you so much, my friend. Be safe.
And you, sir. God bless your heart.
Thanks, bye-bye. Man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up next is J.B. Cannon from the Rival Sons. A lot of bands in this quarantine lockdown time have been doing these Instagram live interviews, which is really cool because you get a chance to see, you know, them in at their houses and different things like that. And what you do pretty much from my standpoint is you start your Instagram live maybe 3 or 4 minutes before your scheduled time. To kind of, you know, build up some followers. And then the artist will ask to join in, and then you click on it and the whole thing. So this interview was great. And the record company actually called me. This is a little inside baseball. They called me about an hour beforehand, and they said, hey, listen, Jay, we'll sing, you know, some of Shooting Stars, you know, so ask them about it. And then if you want, you can just, you know, leave the screen or put your logo up there or whatever. This is what the record company is telling me, okay? And I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah, you know, if you don't want to, you know, be looked at while he's singing and you're just, you know, sitting there doing nothing, I'm like, okay, fair enough. So anyways, you'll find that I did move out of the screen and kind of turn things over to Jay. Well, he didn't want me to do that. And as this happened, I got a text from record company saying, whoops, apparently he didn't want you to leave the screen. So it's a kind of a funny moment and a lighthearted moment. And actually, this whole interview is lighthearted. It's really great. Jay is awesome. It's the sound is a little bit funky because we're on this, you know, Instagram connection. So I'm a little bit in the background and Jay's a little bit more up front. It's funny because I have this, you know, my voice actually is pretty loud. And so sometimes when I'm doing some of these interviews, I'll tend to back off the mic and then I'm backed off too far. And sometimes the artists, you know, really get on the mic. So that kind of happens here, but you get the picture and it's a really fun conversation. And I hope you guys dig this. Jay Buchanan from the Rival Sons on Talkin' Rock.
Meltdown. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good.
Oh, I guess some
coffee.
As usual, I'm too short. Here, let's try that. Oh, there we go. Perfect. So
get closer to the camera, man. It's okay.
I'm trying. I thought I had it figured out. I've never done this before. You've done a few of these so far, right?
This is pretty new for me. I've done a few of them.
Yeah.
But I've never done one in the middle of a lockdown quarantine COVID-19
right.
pandemic. This was the first time.
I was talking with Dave Ellison the other day, and I read a blog that said something along the lines of, that even though we're kind of social distancing and we're kind of farther apart now, you guys are doing stuff like this and kind of welcoming people into your homes and to see you and your family. So in a weird way, we're kind of closer together than we've ever been.
I completely agree with that. I think that people are being forced to rethink a lot of what they're doing right now, you know, with their just in their daily life. And I think that because we have to have it's an imposed social distancing, and people are locked out in their homes, I think it's helping all of us to realize the value of communication with our friends and with people that we love.
Yeah. And especially, you know, with the celebrities and stuff, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, you read a magazine that might have been a month old. Now with the internet, you see a little bit closer. But now we're seeing stuff right now as it happens in your home right here to all the fans of the Riff and their rival Sons.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Feels like we're living in a comic book right now. This is crazy times.
Is there something going on behind you?
Oh, no. I'm just thinking of, you know, looking at the news every day and, you know, everything. Just the conversations that you catch yourself having with people and the things that you talk about. Things like, I mean, when has toilet paper ever been a topic of conversation? You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And sanitary wipes. And N95 masks, and
the word wild. Social distancing wasn't even a thing at the beginning of the year, and here we are. So,
yeah, that's right.
It's pretty wild. Hey, you know, last time you guys were here, I don't know if you met him or not, but Sisto Rodriguez was at the show. And for anyone that hasn't seen that documentary, Searching for Sugar Man, did you get to meet him?
Yes, I did.
You met him. He was in Detroit here.
Yeah, he was very sweet, and he was there with his family. And we chatted for a few minutes after the show. He was there, and it was great. I was talking to him with I was sitting there with Robert DeLeo and some of the guys from Stone Temple Pilots. We were all hanging out back there.
Yeah, that was the last outdoor concert I saw, and I don't know when the next time I'm going to see another outdoor concert.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting back out there and performing. I mean, I'm singing like crazy here at home, and I'm working on our next record. You know, Scott Holliday, my partner, he and I are trading ideas back and forth every day. So we're hard at work with the writing for this next record so that we have something to do, staying very active. But there's nothing like that interaction of playing live and feeling all of that energy and being in a space together, you know, with those thousands of people. I'm really looking forward to getting back to that.
So how much into the writing process have you begun? Or are you just kind of just starting to tiptoe through it now?
Well, I think that no matter how far you get, you can have completed. If you complete one song, say, you're going to be... You have to start working on another song. So for me, I tend to have, a couple dozen different pots on the stove. And it's the same way with Scott. So we're fielding different ideas. And, some things are more in focus and other things are coming into focus. So I think that we're kind of right in the middle of it right now.
Now, I'm not just going to say this just to blow smoke, but I've said it on the radio. Feral Roots is one of my favorite records of 2019. It's so good, man. You have to be so proud of that record.
I am proud of that record, and I know the band is too. You know, we got a lot of recognition from the Feral Roots album, and it proved to be a really exciting album to play live. Hmm. You know, I'm supposed to be on the road right now, but we were this entire last year playing in the majority of our set every night with all of the tours that we did through this last album cycle. The majority of the set was from Feral Roots.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first time that we've done that. But we liked the record so much that we wanted to play it live. You know, we're very fortunate to be able to say that we have, you know, that's our seventh studio album. So we have a lot of material to choose from, and fans are definitely vocal about what they want to hear, but we tend to serve ourselves first and then, you know, and then the the audience goers. But so yeah, we played a lot of songs from Feral Roots, and it was really exciting to do that.
And to close out the set, I think right here in Detroit, you closed out with Shooting Stars, which wasn't even a single.
That's right.
And that was that was kind of a ballsy move, for lack of a better term. But it was really cool how it ended the show. And, of course, ends the record, too.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun song to sing, too. I mean, you know, I feel good when I sing that song. And when we play it live, you know, we have a lot of material. And through any given night, you know, you're going through so many different perspectives, you know, with each song, because I'm up there, I'm singing these words, and I'm not an actor, you know, I'm not just reciting lines and like, oh, whatever, you know, this is the part that I'm playing now. It's like most of those songs really mean something to me, and I try to write lyrics that reflect my heart's contents, but you can't always do that. Sometimes you just need to shake your ass, you know, but so it feels better to sing songs that resonate with me personally and that make me feel good when I'm singing them, as well as the guys in the band, you know, playing them. Because if you're singing about too many negative things or things that bring you down or hard memories or different things like that, if you're doing that every night, that's really a mantra, you know. And it's kind of like, you know how you have that one friend that's just a downer? Like, you have a couple of beers, and it always ends up going back to his divorce. You know, like, oh, there's Jim. Oh, God, he's going to get drunk and talk about how much he misses his ex-wife or something. He always does that. But it's like when a person gets trapped in that perspective, you know, that's a hard way to go. But and artistically, you know, artists, they tend to gravitate toward negativity a lot of the time because it's such a real emotion. It's such a real thing, you know, whereas happiness seems like it can be fleeting, but then it just gets blown away, like, you know, like the sand or whatever. But that song, Shooting Stars, always makes me feel good.
Well, would you mind doing a little bit of it for us right now or what? If I moved out of the way and let just people like you take over and sing?
Sure. Let me see here. Let me grab a guitar.
Let me see what Rival Sons here. I remember asking Lars from Metallica one time to do the end of Sad But True on his drum kit, and he looked at me perplexed and said, okay. And he went behind the drum kit and did it, so.
Yeah. Let's see here.
All right, let's turn things over to you, Jay. Take it over.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, Shooting Stars. This is, I don't know. Things are crazy. And this is a song that makes me think about things that I like. So, here we go. My love is stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. My love is stronger than yours. Meltdown, where did you go, man? What?
I'm right here, man. I'm listening.
I'm playing for you.
Oh, you want me to sing too? I'm not singing.
Yeah, you come on, sing with me.
Oh,
come
man,
on now.
You don't want to ruin
it's okay. You
song.
Can ask me to sing, but I can't ask you. Come
you
on
can ask
now.
Me to talk. I'm on the radio. You're a singer.
My love is stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. My love is stronger than yours. Hate will ever be. My faith is deeper than yours. It's deeper than yours. It's deeper than yours. My faith is deeper than yours. Doubt will ever be. We'll move through the world like a shooting stars across the sky. Splitting through the darkness, putting the light into their eyes. Oh, 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 oh. Are you going to sing the next verse or what?
Nice job, dude. Excellent.
Hey.
I had people texting me and people commenting on here how good that was and everything. So final thing here for you. So I know you got other interviews coming up here. What kind of advice or what kind of things do you want to say to the fans right now in this, you know, strange time?
Oh, well, I'm just a songwriter. You know, I play in a band, so I'm not an authority on telling you, you know, I don't know how to deal with this stuff. I don't think anybody really knows how to deal with it because we're dealing with so many uncertainties, so many variables. Just be good. I think that right now in a crisis, and we're in a crisis, I think that a crisis it's supposed to bring out the best, or at the very least, bring out your true essence. It's supposed to show you who you really are. So take the opportunity. I would implore people to take the opportunity to sharpen your sword of kindness. And I know that's a weird statement, you know, but sharpen yourself against this obstacle and take the opportunity to go deeper within and decide for yourself what is important and what's truly, you know, superfluous in your life. Call the ones that you love. Check in on your elders. Check in on your family, on your friends. And in a strange way, people are communicating a little bit more now. And as we're socially distancing, I think that people are getting closer and reaching out to each other in a new way. So just that regular old thing of like, keep your head up, you know,
and keep on swinging
and keep your head up and keep on swinging. But I mean, just maintain, you know, do whatever you got to do, read more books, or just take the opportunity to make yourself feel better, you know? And if that means taking a nap, take a nap. It's okay. You don't have to like write the next great novel or the next song or whatever. If you feel tired, just take a nap. If you feel hungry, you know, eat a little something. But just be good to yourself and be patient with yourself.
And sharpen your sword of kindness. That sounds like a record title if I ever heard one, or a song title.
The sword of kindness.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much for the time, man.
Thank you so much, Melton.
We'll see you next time on here. We can kind of hang out together.
All right, everybody, take care out there.
There you have it. Two lead singers for the price of one right here on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Hope you guys dug that. And by the way, if you're not following our radio station on Instagram, it's 101WRIF if you're around the world. I know we've got Instagram Live interviews coming up next week with the guys from Highly Suspect, Theory of a Dead Man as well, and maybe more to come in the future. So find that and check it out. I'm on the web at Meltdown WRIF. My Instagram handle, ironically enough, is WRIF Meltdown. So if you want to follow me on there, please do so. I would appreciate that. And of course, 5-star ratings on iTunes and Apple, and write reviews and the whole thing. And that's always appreciated as well. But most importantly, thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said before at the onset, I've got some great interviews coming up and scheduled for next week that we should be getting into here. Coming up, you know, like I said, early next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. But subscribe so you don't miss any of the interviews. And thank you, as always, for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.